College football recruiting and the Energizer Bunny have something in common. They both have cycles that just keep going and going and going. And here to talk about that cycle of college football that just keeps going and going is John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. He is back to talk about three really talented young men that you would love to see play college football in Columbus.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeye from Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, May 26th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. John Garcia Jr. is back, and the three young men we have lined up for today's show to talk about, they're really, really talented. One has released his top six. One has said he'll be visiting Ohio State during the season opener, and another one has kept a silent recruitment so far. And these three guys, goodness gracious, you turn on the film, you will love the things you see about them. But before we get to any of that, I want to make one quick shout out to you. No birthday shout outs today. This is a shout out to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I recently went back and looked at the audio podcast numbers and seen how the growth has gone for this month. The show continues to grow, and I want to thank you for it. The audio podcast downloads for this month through the first 25 days in the month of May are up 15.4% from the first 25 days in the month of April. That's a testament and a thank you to you. You guys have done an amazing job pushing the podcast, helping it grow, consistently doing a whole lot to make the podcast be the best it can be. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, I talk a lot about YouTube, but we have not gone away from the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio podcast. We are still available there as well for free. F-R-E-E, that spells free. Thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate it. And joining us once again here on Locked On Buckeyes, it is John Garcia Jr. He is the Director of Football Recruiting at Sports Illustrated. John, welcome back. We have three talented young men to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Buckeyes always recruit nationally, and we're talking about kids coast to coast today. So that's right in my wheelhouse and pretty typical for Ryan Day and company.
We recently talked about a big man up, I believe it was in the northeastern portion of the country, Olas Allen, who is one of those offensive linemen that everybody is trying to get. He's extremely talented. But then there's this kid, Samson Okunlola. I hope I said that correctly. These names are so tricky. Who's up there in Massachusetts, another tall individual at 6'6", standing at about 300 pounds. He's an offensive tackle. And when I watch him play, not only do I see why Ohio State wants him, he carries that weight very well.
He's a supreme athlete. And yeah, Jay, he carries it incredibly well. Okunlola, a kid who plays multiple sports, but really just athletically, just one of the elite prospects, regardless of position, in this class of 2023. And his recruitment's about to get interesting. It's been very quiet leading up to this point. He hasn't taken any official visits, but everybody recognizes the talent and wants the kid on their roster. And I think when you talk about true left tackles in this class, you know, we've talked about Caden Proctor, talked about Allen, we talked about a lot of these guys, true left tackle types that are built to defend these smaller, quicker edge guys that we're seeing pop up in college football and beyond. Okunlola might be the best one in position to combat that. He's great with leverage. He bends incredibly well, 6'6", great length on top of it, as one would imagine. But he can also redirect at that size. And like you said, Jay, he carries it really well because he's just a great athlete overall. So I think this could be the number one OT in the country when all is said and done from an athletic profile standpoint. And then again, like we said, his recruitment kind of in the early stages. He's just now getting on the visit trail. He was at BC, the local school, went over to Oregon last weekend, really impressed with the Ducks, and now setting that official visit schedule, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. I mean, this is going to be a big boy, heavyweight college football playoff type of battle. And it should be, if this is the number one OT in the country, it should be like that. So this is one of those that you got to, you know, strap it all tight, tape your wrists up and go to work. And I think that's what's going to make it such a fun recruitment, because this is an instant impact, you know, blindside protector, don't even worry about that side of the ball kind of guy up front at the offensive tackle position.
You mentioned silent recruitment. This is nothing that Ohio State fans are not, or strangers to. They did it just recently with JT Tuimoloau and more youngsters, Arch Manning. Well, not so, his is more public now, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes we don't know about. But I think these silent recruitments, and where things have really, really kept close-knit, family, friends, people that won't go spouting out things and spitting out information that shouldn't be public, that's something I'm hearing a whole lot more of. I personally like it. It's also my opinion about how I would try to do things. I don't want everybody knowing my business. But from someone like yourself who's covering this and is in the trenches with knowing silent versus very, very public, do you think this is, it's wise for youngsters to keep things tight-knit, close, and private when it comes to making a decision like where they're going to play college football?
I think leading up to it, there's a lot of advantages, Jay, because – first of all, these are teenagers, right? So things change from, you know, by the time we record this and by the time a Buckeyes fan hears it, it's something's going to be different, right?
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know, it changes that quickly. So the more you let out and say, hey, oh, in this case, let's say Okunlola loved Oregon and he was like, look, this is my leader, probably where I want to go, but I don't know when I'm going to commit, blah, blah, blah. Now, guess what that does? Every other college in the mix is like, oh, well, now we got to double down on Okunlola because we're chasing Oregon. So not only allowing time for the visit high that kids get on to settle in, but to just keep things balanced from your amount of text messages and phone calls in your inbox, there's a lot of benefits to really keeping it closer to the vest. Okunlola, I've talked to him a couple of times. My colleagues have talked to him a couple of times. He ain't giving nothing up. And I respect it. Totally get it. And I'm like, okay, well, let's shift gears to how you're going to make a decision. And this is a very calculated kid, wants to take the allotment of visits and take his time in truly evaluating all of these options, because he's coveted coast to coast and is going to hear from, you know, these schools, you know, the top of the top schools in the country. So, you know, I think for him, there's a lot of benefit to keeping things a little bit closer to the vest. Now, on the flip side, do you have as many followers and fanfare and all of that stuff? If you're more out there and more public about, like, you know, let me hashtag go Bucks every time I visit Ohio State. Look, yeah, you're going to get some of that love from some of these massive fan bases coast to coast or even internationally in some cases. Sure. But at the end of the day, what's more important to you? Is it more about your privacy, or is it more about kind of putting your name out there? But when you're maybe the number one OT in the country, you don't really have to worry about trying to build something like that publicly, because privately it's already there. You're already coveted. So I could see it if you're a kid on the bubble who maybe wants a little bit more attention. Hey, I'm getting offers from, you know, Memphis and Cincinnati, but I want to get to that Power Five level and get a little bit more. Okay, I get it a little bit more from that standpoint. But when you're at the top looking down, you don't really have to do that to a certain degree. And again, it keeps the process more in the recruit's control as opposed to the fans and the coaches really occupying most of your time, which I think at the end of the day, what most recruits will tell you, that's the better way to handle it.
Imagine dipping your finger into the plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that was only 150 calories and 16 grams of protein. That is what it is like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I just received my birthday cake puffs and I have never had anything like this before. They're available right now and we can't promise that they will be there tomorrow. So go get them today at Built.com. And if you haven't tried the puffs, I'll let you in on a little secret, because that's what friends do. A chocolate covered marshmallow protein bar. Yeah, you heard me. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. Make every day your birthday with Built Birthday Cake Puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake, enrobed it in 100% white chocolate, and added sprinkles. Go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at Built.com. These type of recruitments, they kind of stick out to me due to how we consume things. My news source, I don't watch TV for news. I get on my phone. I get on Twitter. Sometimes you can get things from Instagram, but that's a different form of social media than what Twitter is. And so with things being out there on social media and people my age, your age, younger, teenage, high school age, they're all on social media. They're growing up in a social media quick, fast, let me flash this really quickly, that type of age. I find that there's wisdom in this as well, not just for keeping things close-knit into the family, but also for kind of projecting how you might be at the next level. A coach can learn a lot about a young man based off of how they handle being recruited at such a national level.
That's a great point, Jay. You know, there's not every coach is on social media. You know, they certainly don't want to be scrolling. But with these massive recruiting departments, you bet your you know what, they're getting daily reports on how these kids are handling their social media. It's important from an optical perspective. Look, everybody knows that, you know, when you become a football player at an Ohio State, the headline reads Ohio State football player XYZ, not Joe Schmo, who happens to play at Ohio State. It leads with the school name. So everybody's much more aware of how they present themselves publicly, and that obviously filters into recruiting in general. Anything that has to do with any kind of value, you know, you're going to, you know, perceive that a little bit differently. So that's a really great point. And again, man, just that sanity you get from not putting every little thing out there, I do think it's more rare as time goes on here, but it could be, again, a telling sign of maturity relative to what you're asking this kid to do. If you're losing your left tackle after 2022 and you're like, hey, you might be able to come in and protect my, you know, franchise player, my quarterback, you want as much maturity, just as much as you want that physical ability to actually do it, because that just gives you more benefit of the doubt when you're talking about making the transition of leaving home, you know, unless he goes to Boston College, leaving home for college, working into a major university, the pressure of being one of these highly touted recruits, and then, of course, actually transitioning into a college scheme where you're having to work checks and audibles and everything into the playbook that goes into, you know, playing at such a high level, not even to mention NIL money and dealing with that. The more mature, the better in general. And I think any sign towards that helps you, especially when it's this early. I mean, we talk about NFL draft prospects and maturity. So imagine having that next to your name as a high schooler. That's a big deal and doesn't happen every day. But I do believe Samson Okunlola is one of the few that does have that attached to his name.
Last thing about Okunlola here, projecting official visit timing about when he may be in Columbus. Do you think it'll be in June or during the fall, during the football season?
I think he's going to split up the trips. So depending on how he lines them up, it could be either or. I mean, if I'm Okunlola, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm looking at some of the big name opponents coming to Columbus, and I'm probably doing that because, look, he's a kid that's not – most of these kids are like, hey, I need to take all my OVs in June and I need to commit before my senior season begins, which is totally understandable. I don't think Okunlola is going to be in that crop of kid. So I do think he's going to take officials in June and a few – in the fall, and depending on, you know, his timeline as it develops in the next couple months, I'd probably push for Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama. The bigger, the better for the season. Let's go experience some great college football in addition to exploring this scholarship offer that I do have. That's not to say he won't take important ones in June, but if the timeline is more relaxed and there's some great games on the schedule, I would lean towards, if I'm an Ohio State fan, wanting him to take them later in the process, because it's also closer to when he's going to make a decision, and that's always important when you're dealing with recruiting.
John, there's another young man who's not on the offensive line, but he's on the defensive line, Darren Reed. He, as what I saw, 6'5", 260 from Columbus, Georgia at Carver High School. This young man recently released his top six. I'm always interested to see if it's top three, top two, which you rarely see. Is it? I've seen a top eight. I'm like, top 10? Narrow it down, buddy. Like, I know you're doing the top 10 just for some clicks, but narrow it down just for your own psyche. But that's just all my own personal opinion. They do what they want to do, and I will never steer them away from how they want to make those decisions. But his top six was Auburn, LSU, Miami, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Florida State. This is one of the rare times there's not a top defensive lineman. You don't see Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State in a top six. Did that surprise you?
A little bit, you know, and especially where he's from. You know, he's a Columbus Carver kid, as you mentioned, right on the border of Georgia and Alabama. Too. Yeah, Georgia and Alabama. So you just kind of expect, okay, this is going to be all SEC schools with a sprinkle of Clemson or Ohio State thereafter, but much more diverse with Reed, which is interesting. But you know, he's a kid, Jay, that has been recruited since he was a freshman. That is a high-profile school in that part of the Deep South. So schools have been recruiting him for quite some time. And we've heard some ebb and flow with some of the schools that have been involved in this recruitment. You know, geographically, Auburn is right there. I mean, you're talking 45 minutes at the most down the road, probably closer to 30 minutes, honestly. Florida State was in on him incredibly early. LSU's previous staff was in on him, and the current staff has continued that.
Okay.
So that makes sense. And then you look at, you know, Ohio State has recruited a lot of those kids at Carver, Columbus. Hadn't landed a lot of them, but in that area, they were in on Michael Williams. They were in on Elijah Pritchett last cycle. So Ohio State, of course, familiar with prospects in that region. So you wonder how much, one, he's coveted by OSU, and two, where it shakes up. But, yeah, interesting top six, like you said, Jay. He could probably narrow it a little bit further if he wanted to, especially since he's been recruited for so long, but a little bit more diverse of a group than we're used to seeing, there's no doubt.
What types of things do you see when you watch him play the football that stand out that Ohio State fans will love?
Well, initially the evaluation when he was an underclassman, he was just kind of long, lean, speed rusher, which is great, right? Everybody needs a guy who can get after the quarterback from an outside perspective. But recently he's added good weight. He's developed a little bit as a defender, and he can now play a little bit better at the point of attack. He can work underneath and knife through long-armed offensive tackles. And that's really what gets you excited, because now you have a bit more of a balanced approach as a defensive lineman. And again, as he grows, and he's a little bit taller than he was when I saw him last fall, now he can carry probably a little bit more weight, and now you can become this inside-out pass rusher, which has even more value on the defensive line because you can move around relative to down and distance, personnel, all the things that Larry Johnson likes to do in mixing up the look that offensive linemen get when they play OSU. So I do think he's got a little bit of versatility to his game as well. Still probably a little bit more raw than you would like relative to a kid going into his senior season, but still has that senior season ahead of him, and obviously will get into college and pack on more weight and technique all the same. But the foundation is there. This is an athletic edge guy who has developed physically and become a little bit more balanced in terms of what he can do. So I think you really can't have enough of those on a given roster in the pass-first nature of college football.
You said two words that I think were already in my head when I first saw him, that he weighed 260. Adding weight. We talked about recently how not just Ohio State, but a lot of schools like guys not only to add weight, which is kind of expected, but they also like them to be versatile, play outside, play inside. Do you see him, once he adds some weight, being someone that plays outside the end and also inside the tackle?
I do. I think it depends on how much he can put on and you know, maintain that athleticism that got him on recruiting radar in the first place. But look, I mean, he's going against great players every day in practice, and they're loaded. That high school is loaded all throughout the offensive line. I mean, Elijah Pritchett last year was the number one tackle in the country on Sports Illustrated. So when he was playing DN, he's working against him every day in practice. He's now at Alabama. And then on the interior, They had some younger, bigger guys that really challenge you from a physical standpoint. So when he does move inside, he's getting good work in there as well. And I do think, as you talk about the ceiling of this kid's game, I do think that is probably where his calling card will lie. I do think he'll be more of a 275 type of defensive lineman where you're a bit of a tweener and you keep that versatility, but primarily you're going to rush from hand in the dirt inside perspective, going against the outside shoulder of guards more so than tackles down the line. But again, maintaining that athleticism and twitch can push you outside on early downs all the same. And I think that's important for any defensive lineman's value going forward.
He has six schools that are in his final listing of a collection where he might play football in the future. Now, that could ultimately change, but there's six right now. I'm not going to ask you to do a scale of 1 to 10. Not doing that this week. But if you could put the three in a top group to say these three schools have the upper hand right now, who are those schools? They can be in any order.
Yeah, I think Florida State will be kind of the dark horse here. They've been in it the longest with him. I do think LSU and Auburn are newer staffs, newer approaches that he will probably explore, especially with Auburn being so close to him. And then if you just look at it from a national perspective, I mean, he's got to get up to Ohio State. You know, I do think that the Buckeyes, you know, you got to explore that. Now, Ohio State's in it for every great top lineman in this class, it feels like. So I'm more curious from the Ohio State perspective here. How much is Larry Johnson pushing for Reed relative to the opposite? So I do think, you know, in terms of where Ohio State is, in terms of recruiting him and when he starts to line up these official visits, I do think that will be interesting in how this thing builds. But yeah, I mean, you always give the benefit of the doubt to the schools that are a little bit closer to home. But again, Ohio State's been able to go into Georgia and Florida and everywhere else and pull great talent almost at will, especially on the defensive front. So if OSU truly wants him, they're going to stay in the mix, in my opinion.
Last but not least, we just previously talked about two 2023 recruits. This young man is a 2024 kid. He's a defensive back. I've seen him listed at 6'4". I've seen him listed at 6'2". I don't know what you have in your database as far as like a height and weight for him, but it's Peyton Woodyard from St. John Bosco. When I was in high school, I used to hear about all these schools out in Cali, and St. John Bosco is one of those schools where that is a factory of producing really good college football talent. This young man recently said, one, he is going to be at the Notre Dame game, the season opener, and Perry Eliano, his coach, is really excited to get him there in prime time. But he also said that he talks frequently with Dylan Raiola, a kid we recently talked about from this same class that committed to Ohio State. Those two things are interesting. Not only is he going to be at the season opener, but he's talking to a quarterback, and this guy plays on defense. So Dylan Raiola might already be recruiting guys in the class to come to Columbus to be at Ohio State. What are some good things Buckeye fans will love about Peyton Woodyard, things they should know?
Well, he's a versatile defensive prospect. I know we just talked about that with Reed on the defensive line, but if there's a position where defensively, if you can move around, there's even more value, it's probably with what Woodyard can do. He's a safety by nature, but he's got a lot of rover nickel linebacker in his game. You know, 6'2", like you said, right around 200 pounds, a kid who's already, you know, been there and done that at St. John Bosco, which, as you said at the top, is really – one of the premier high schools in the country. We did a way too early Power 25 ranking last week at SI in conjunction with our partners at SB Live. And we got St. John Bosco number 2 in America ahead of IMG Academy in wow. terms of what we expect of them this fall. So, yeah, they can play with anyone. Woodyard's been a multi-year starter already, despite being a sophomore, as we currently talk about his game. And you see him on tape. You know, he can come down and strike. He's got some coverage ability as well. So you're curious, how is he going to fill out going forward over these next 2 years? And he might be a modern linebacker before all is said and done. But at a minimum, with his floor, he's a hybrid who can line up at three different positions on three different downs. On first down, maybe you want him a little bit closer to the box. On second down, you could send him in on a blitz. He's got great instincts and physicality at the strike point. And then on third down, you might use him as a zone defender underneath to mirror the quarterback and play a little bit of spy. He is that kind of athlete, that kind of instinctive back seven defender. And then you think about, you know, the connection to OSU, as you mentioned, with Dylan Raiola, two West Coast guys, two national recruits in the class of 2024. Raiola's still in there at this point. So, yeah, you'd like to see that if you're a Buckeye fan. He should be recruiting. He is the class headliner. He is the highest-rated 2024 guy who has made a verbal commitment. So if there's a chance for OSU to get the jump on other elites in that class, it's not only going to come from the coaching staff. It's got to come from the class headliner with Dylan Raiola, because, look, peer-to-peer recruiting is a really big deal. It's one thing for an adult millionaire to tell you, hey, come play for us. You're going to love it. It's another thing for a kid who's already committed to do so to tell you, hey, when you go over here, let's link up. This is where you need to go eat. This is where we're going to train. I mean, it's just a different feel when another kid's going through the same process that you are and understands the weight of a decision. And Dylan Raiola was as national a recruit as it gets. But look, Woodyard is too. You know, on spring break, he took a huge Midwestern swing. He was at OSU. He was at Michigan. He was at Notre Dame. I think he popped up to Michigan State, Penn State as well. This is a kid who every school in the country has checked in on, Alabama, LSU, all the Pac-12 schools, as you would imagine, with him being from California. So this is another one that, you know, it's a big boy, you know, put the gloves on and get ready to go to war kind of recruitment. And Ohio State knows how to play those for sure.
They do. And I've noticed, not just with Dylan Raiola, we saw it with CJ Hicks in he's an early enrollee, where kids and youngsters are recruiting other kids, not just locally, but they're around the country. How do you view that? And how do you think that impacts young men? Because I say young men because they are going to be young men, but that could steer you in the wrong way. You can get a personality that's really charismatic, that's goofy, a comedian, that can pull you to a school, and ultimately it's a bad decision for you, not just for playing time, but it's just culturally not a good fit. Then you can have a kid that might not have the personality of a dynamic leader, a charismatic leader, but that kid might be the right person for you to link up with. Ultimately, you don't go that way. You go towards a charismatic personality. The next thing you know, you're transferring after year one, not because of playing time, because the fit is not right. How do you view those youngsters that are recruiting each other, and how do you think that impacts someone like Woodyard, who is trying to make a really big decision?
Well, I think it goes back to what we said about Okanlola, right? You know, keeping things closer to the vest has its merit, as does maturity. And I think that's really the responsibility of the recruit. You know, when you're a kid who's already been able to connect with Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban and Brian Kelly, I guess, Marcus Freeman, all these guys, when you're able to connect with those guys, there should be a sense of maturity to your game that you can bring. And look, St. John Bosco, well-coached program, another one that has been there and done that. So you kind of give the benefit of the doubt to Peyton in terms of how he's going through that part of the process, but it is really on the prospect to filter out the noise. Look, when you're a kid of his stature as a national recruit, every kid that's committed to a school, when you come in contact with him, he's going to try to pull you there, right? You don't even have to look hard for it. Look on Twitter. Just go to his mentions, and I guarantee you other recruits are trying to pull him to their school, not even in his class, but even in the 2023 class, or players that are on the current team. So it's on you to filter out those things and figure out, hey, is it worth it to engage with this or is it not? But, you know, to undersell the impact of peer recruiting would be naive at the same time. You know, it matters when it's a guy who's gone through that same process. You know, I think you bond with people generally just as humans in a lot of different ways, but when you can resonate with them, it speeds up that process. So it is something that is critical for a lot of programs and how they recruit. You want, in this case with Dylan Raiola, you want your quarterback to always be an extension of that coaching staff. And you look, they can talk as much as they want. As long as Dylan initiates the contact, he says, hey coach, how bad do we want Woodyard? Oh, we want him really bad. Okay, I'm gonna hit him up tonight. You know, and I think that's something that is really important in the recruiting process. And look, it's important to figure out that and filter it out, because from a technology standpoint, Jay, I mean, look, we're talking via the internet right now. There's really a million ways that you can connect with someone. And for these kids, it could be FaceTime, it could be Zoom, it could be a text message, it could be Snapchat, it could be so many different things. And for a lot of them, it's all of these things all at once. So it is important to, again, keep a level head of maturity and filter out some of those. But, you know, it's never all of them, as far as my experience can say.
It's always fun having John Garcia Jr. on the show. Our weekly chat with him has become something that fans have loved, Job. They have loved you coming on and discussing things about future Buckeyes. I really haven't received any negative comments in the YouTube chat, which is surprising because people have no problem sharing their opinions in that YouTube comment section. If you could, though, as we wrap up today's show, if you could let everyone know where they could follow you on Twitter and some good things you have going on at Sports Illustrated as we get into camping season.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be a heavy month of June on the recruiting front. We're tracking all of it at SI.com. Still looking at quarterbacks, still trying to figure out how these dominoes will fall. Eli Holstein picked Alabama on Tuesday. That was a big one that fell. Arch Manning's got his official visit set, so there's a lot to cover. So check us out, SI.com/college.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. As I mentioned, it's camping season. It's going to be coming up starting in June. A lot of young men around the country will flock to Columbus and other places around the country to seek getting offers, to seek getting in front of coaches, to take official visits. And John will be back with us to discuss everything going on during the month of June. John, thank you for coming back on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Jay. Take care.
Thanks for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen every day. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stayman, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your fine podcast.